This is Evangelist Byron Fox on behalf of the God Bless America magazine. And we're interviewing the different authors and even the advertisers that are associated with the magazine. And we're so happy with all of these interviews. And today, conducting most of the interview is my good friend, Pastor Thomas Alvis. Who's our special guest, Pastor Alvis?
Hey, Brother Byron, thank you. We have Pastor Gordon Dixon on the line with us, and Brother Gordon has been a friend for many years. We first became acquainted at the end of our college days, and then when he was representing a ministry sharing youth materials. I was a youth pastor, and then as he served an assistant pastor there with Dr. John Vaughn in Greenville, and now has pastored in Findlay, Ohio for a number of years. And one of the things I've always appreciated about Gordon is the iron sharpening iron, as Proverbs describes. And he's one of those men that I love to have conversations with. His thinking, his vocabulary, his communication is just filled with scripture. And I greatly appreciate that. And Gordon, thank you for joining us today. And, you know, I've got your book in front of me. It's entitled 12 Ways You Can Make a Difference in This Crazy, Mixed Up World. What is this book about, Gordon?
Well, first of all, gentlemen, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk to you today. So I presented this in churches and said, okay, let's pick any 12 to 15 recent news articles and just start going through them. And where appropriate, I'll flash them up on the screen. And when you see what's happening in this world, after 12 or 15 news articles, I would look at the congregation and say, now, folks, can I just ask you, do you believe this is a crazy mixed up world? And the whole congregation is nodding their heads like, yeah, what on earth is actually happening here? And so that was somewhat of the impetus for writing the book of what does the Bible actually say about this situation that we find ourselves in our society.
Wow. So are you contending then that God's people can actually make a difference in this world that is so crazy mixed up?
I think that's exactly what Jesus taught. In fact, I think that's exactly what he was saying in Matthew 5 when he said, You are the salt of the earth. It's actually plural. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. And what he was saying with those two metaphors is that the world is growing ever more corrupt in its darkness. And that is exactly what I believe Jesus emphasized. And in the opening chapters of the book, I talked a little bit about there was an outdoor prayer meeting. This was during COVID, Portland, Oregon. The churches just wanted to get together for an outdoor prayer meeting. Antifa showed up and they pepper sprayed the people. They threw feces and urine on even the children through fireworks, and it was just a mess. But one of the Antifa members screamed, "Where is your God now?" And the moment I heard that, I thought, that's in the Bible. And so I began to go through, and that's the opening chapter, is where is your God now? Because we desperately know that we need a moving of God's Spirit, and we desperately need him. Jesus taught us exactly how to be salt and light. And where that is in Matthew is the only thing preceding that statement in the Sermon on the Mount is the Beatitudes, the blessings of the Beatitudes. So in the book, what I tried to demonstrate was there is a really marvelous progression in those Beatitudes by which even sinners can become saints and saints can become soul winners in order to be persevering soul winners, even when they are reviled and persecuted, that they continue to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And that is exactly what Jesus ordained.
Amen. Now, the format in which you wrote this really has helped me and encouraged me in even just working through the book. Talk just a little bit about the format in which you wrote it and why you wrote it that way.
I think we have to identify mankind's needs in biblical terms, not in psychological terms, not with worldly wisdom, but actually say, here are the legitimate, biblically described needs of man. And once you get it down on that level, then you can find that it's actually answered in the scripture and that Jesus was providing everything that we needed. It talks about in 2 Peter 1 how his divine power gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He is actually actuating that through the Beatitudes to cause us to become really what we ought to be. One of the things I appeal for in the book is, I think what the Lord is saying to us is, be what you want others to become. In other words, lead by example. And then after that section on showing the progression in the Beatitudes and then how we become salt and light and what that really means, then the great need of the hour is, all right, how do we press on? And basically, this is what Jesus was doing in the Sermon on the Mount. He spent a great deal of time on prayer. And so that's exactly what I did in the book. In the next 13 chapters, tried to bring out some really interesting things about prayer that you don't usually hear but are very, very scriptural, even to the point where at one point the Lord told Moses, don't pray, you know, let me alone. I'll destroy them and make of you a great nation. And what did Moses do? Well, he passed the test of an intercessor. He prayed. And you can find the Lord said the same thing to Jeremiah. What the Lord is asking us to do is to be persistent and even prevailing intercessors in these days, especially. Now, one of the reasons this is an encouragement is when we think of our own times right now, we think to ourselves, well, it's never been as bad as this before. Well, that's just not true. The Bible was actually written under conditions that were far worse than this, and that there have been times in American history when it was just as bad and perhaps even worse than it is now. And so learning how to pray, one of my favorites is, okay, here's the woman who has to deal in Luke 18. She has to deal with the unjust judge. Okay, gentlemen, do we think that one of the big problems we're facing today is having to deal with unjust political officials, unjust public officials? It's everywhere.
Yes.
I mean, the genius of Jesus to pick that particular illustration. And so what does he say about this woman who, you know, she doesn't seem like she has as much power as this man, or, you know, probably not as wealthy or anything else, but she had something he didn't have. She was determined to outlast the problem by prayer. And the point of the parable that Jesus is saying there is that men ought to pray and not to faint. But I just find it interesting, as we are so troubled and we are dealing with public officials who obviously don't fear God. Well, it's right there in the passage in Luke 18 that the unjust judge said, because I don't fear God or man, but, you know, basically this woman's driving me nuts, you know. And then he goes on to say, here's how God's people ought to pray when they do have the just judge that they are appealing to go boldly before the throne of grace to cry out to the Lord. Gentlemen, what I tried to do with this book is just knowing preachers. Look, I've served as a pastor for 39 years, been in the ministry for 45 years, served 29 years as a senior pastor. I know that for the pastor, Sunday's always coming. When we took our kids on vacation, I would be standing there reading a sign. They'd say, Dad, do you have to read the sign? And I will say, yeah, because preachers, you need to know, we don't go on vacation. We just go to different places to look for sermon illustrations. So I'm very conscious of the fact that pastors are always looking for sermon illustrations. So what I tried to do was I tried to load this book up with illustrations and applications that could be used by pastors. And then the third section of the book, after the section on prayer, is, all right, let's take what we learned about the blessings of the Beatitudes, transforming us into becoming salt and light, learn how to pray in a prevailing manner, in a persistent manner, watch the Lord answer our prayers, even learning the ease of how to pray for an hour. We have some forebears in George Mueller, John Newton, some others, who told us and taught us exactly how to easily pray for an hour. That, quite frankly, it was all new to me when I began to do the research on it and realize what they were saying. All of this is applied then to the three God-ordained institutions. And I know that chronologically we say family, church, and government. I chose to do church first because in this context, it's the church that makes our salt more pungent and our light more vibrant, and then tried to apply that with some really interesting illustrations through the family and on through the government. And one of the questions in the chapter title is, shall we disdain what God ordained? if in Romans 13, 1, I mean, we believe that the powers that be are ordained of God, shall we despise that? Shall we disdain what God ordained? No, I think the Lord wants us to actually be what we ought to become. Daniel Webster once said, and I believe this was in his speech on the anniversary of Plymouth Rock, he made this comment, "Whatever makes men good Christians makes them good citizens." And I think that's where we are, that the Lord can transform us and cause us to be what we want others to become.
Yeah. And the, like you said, one of the fascinating things to me about the book is it's not written in lengthy chapters. Mm-hmm. They're small, digestible chapters. I think your intent was to read it over 40 days or so, almost like a devotional. And I've been using it that way. And the illustrations that you have are so very helpful. The indices at the end are very helpful. And my friends, I would encourage you, this book's available in print edition. It's available in digital edition. It's available in audible edition. And I actually have it on my tablet, and I have it in my Audible account. And so I've been listening and reading and highlighting at the same time. And every single time, I've just been encouraged and challenged and strengthened. Matter of fact, I shared it with our church family last Sunday, the title and a couple of quotes that you have in here. But again, God's desire for his people is for us to truly be the salt and the light. Paul says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, we are to shine for God's glory. Brother Gordon, thank you for your labors on this. Thank you for sharing with us your heart on it today. And Brother Byron, I highly recommend God's people get a hold of this resource.
And I concur with you on that.
Amen.
Okay, that brings us to a very practical question, Brother Gordon. How can our listeners get this book? Where do they go to get it?
Right now, it is available on Amazon, and if you'd like to go there, my name, Gordon Dickson, it's D-I-C-K-S-O-N. Don't confuse me with the science fiction writer. It's a different name, but that's the most popular Gordon Dickson on any site, but mine is Gordon A. Dickson, and one of the easiest ways to access the book is go to my website. My website is liveservelead.com. LiveServeLead.com. The tagline there is Live, Serve, Lead, Helping Others Succeed. And that's what I really earnestly desire to do, is to provide resources for God's people to really help them succeed. One of the ways I like to spell the word love, L-O-V-E, is living for others' victory for eternity. And I am determined that as I have now retired as a senior pastor and am now going out and speaking in other churches, I am really determined that that's really what I want to do, is live to help others have victory for eternity.
Well, you've certainly helped me and Pastor Alvis. You know, when God led me to do this magazine, the God Bless America magazine, immediately I said, I need some editorial help. And I knew Tom was good at that. And then I did not know just the wealth of your experience, Brother Dickson. And you have been fabulous in the way of helping the magazine. You improved it significantly. So to both of you today, I want to say a great big thank you for your help with the magazine. And we want you to get the magazine. You can find that at godandcountry.me, godandcountry.me. And you can see the digital. Eventually, you'll see the digital release there, the audio. Brother Dickson, you are the one that read all the articles and narrated them for us. And it's spectacular, the audio magazine. You'll enjoy that. Any final comment, Brother Dickson?
Well, thank you, gentlemen, so much for the opportunity to talk about this today. I was a writer before I became a pastor, and so that was many, many years ago. And across my pastoral ministry, it really has been my joy to write a number of servant leadership studies and other items that I knew eventually would become books. And now, as the Lord allows me the time and the energy to do so, what I intend to do is actually produce more books that could really help people live for the Lord. especially in this crazy, mixed up world. So thank you so much for the time to talk today.
Hey. And on behalf of the God Bless America magazine, I'm Evangelist Byron Fox, and our interviewer and interviewee have been Thomas Alvis and Gordon Dixon. God bless you, men.